This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Welcome to From Beneath the Hollywood Sign. If you love old movies, Hollywood history, or the golden age of filmmaking, you've come to the right place. This is the podcast that talks about amazing stories of Tinseltown from another era and fascinating conversations with writer-producer Steve Kubine and actress-writer Nan McNamara.
So, Steve, did Ava Gardner and Howard Hughes have a good relationship?
Well, they did, until he dislocated her jaw.
What?
Well, don't worry. She hit him back with an ashtray.
From Beneath the Hollywood Sign is the gin joint for you.
Hello, I am Anderson Cowan, and I have got a movie to make, and this is Loaded for Bear. Let's make this movie, week 8 of 36 weeks. Ooh, getting close to that quarter point. First quarter, almost done, and things are moving along. Got a few updates for you this week. It's going to be a short one. This is the second time that I've recorded this week. I am out of the country. I am in Panama right now. I'm at an amazing hotel in the old quarter, the old section, Casco Viejo, which was, I guess, a very scary part of Panama until just fairly recently, a couple decades ago, they revitalized it. But we were staying at a Hyatt on my points, unexpectedly, because I have Hyatt points, which I accrued while traveling around with groupers and also just traveling with the wife and the boy. But yeah, before anyone gets any ideas, I think I've already said it. I know the optics aren't great on this, but it feels weird to be raising money and kicking off this documentary and then showing up in Panama, you know, just a few short weeks later. This is my 50th birthday present from my lovely wife, who wanted to do something special for me, and Panama has been fantastic. I'll talk more about it on the old After Disaster, and I'm sure a little Film Vault as well, but I highly recommend, and we're trying our best to do what at least, you know, a lot of us aren't able to do with kids and as children, and that's show Atticus some different parts of the world, different cultures, and to get them to see a larger world than a lot of us are afforded to see, so that hopefully that translates into being a better human being. So, all right, why do I get all sanctimonious on this feed all the time? Did I mention that I wanted to open this with hola rather than hello? But that would have felt hacky, so I didn't do that. Well, now I have. Okay, I've mentioned that now. So, all right, here are what's been going on since I've been over here. I have been not as much as I would be when I'm home, but I have been continuing to research, write things. I'm really getting into the history. I got a couple textbooks on the history of individuals with intellectual disabilities, and it's some fascinating stuff, which I'm going to be weaving into this documentary. On the narrative front, so I've talked to Mike Carano a couple times. He's been at the classes yesterday. He was at the class documenting that, as well as a week ago yesterday. This is the longest I have been away from the Born to Act players in over a year, probably. It feels, I miss those guys. I miss class. Just yesterday, Atticus and I and Mom, Jillian, we were in a place called San Blas Islands, which is a very remote spot in Panama. You had to drive. I'll talk about all this on the After Disaster. That's not what this feed's about, but we were in a place with, we weren't supposed to have service, but we had a little bit of service, so I was dealing with some Film Vault issues with Avery, and it was Thursday, and we were sitting on this little island without electricity, barely any phone service, and we're getting, you know, bit by the bugs. I've never been bit by so many bugs, but that comes with the territory, and I have a hard time relaxing. Like, I try and relax, and it doesn't take. I don't know how to relax. They had a hammock. I went in at once, and I'm like, I can't get comfortable. Next thing you know, I'm like, all right, Atticus, we're going to try and walk around this entire island, but in the water. And I got the poor kid out there trying to do that. And then we took a kayak out to another island, which was, you know, maybe 200 yards away. And he was having fun, but it's just like, can we just relax? I don't know how to relax. the kayak, we capsized. We had to be rescued. We didn't have to be rescued, but they saw us out there, so they came and rescued us. It was kind of embarrassing. The kayak probably would have been lost because it was sinking. It was not a seaworthy kayak. As soon as it capsized, it started filling with water when I flipped it back over. That's a whole different story. But the point is, I don't know how to relax. So while I'm on this island, I'm rewriting stuff. I rewrote a scene, actually, before we even got to San Blas. Islands. It's San Blas, S-A-N-B-L-A-S. I mean, it's incredible, but don't go there for comfort, because it's tough with you know, leaky roofs and the bugs and no air conditioning. I could have made it happen. I could have drank myself to sleep a couple nights, but the wife, Jillian, was like, I can't do it. I can't do two nights. We're supposed to be there for two nights, but we came back early. The point is, I was on that little island, Wally Dub Island in San Blas, and that's where I was pulled a scene from Loaded for Bear, the narrative feature, and I'm repurposing it, making some tweaks, massaging it a bit so that it can stand out as a so it can stand alone, stand up as a short film. And the reason I'm doing that is kind of exciting. Like, this was not part of the plan, and this is where having very, very smart people involved and attached really comes in handy, because I would not have thought of making opportunity out of the ensuing SAG-AFTRA strike, which is on the precipice. And Robert, my very clever producer, who I will have him on here soon enough. You guys need to meet Robert and hear him and hear how we first met and hear the magic words that he told me as somebody who just wants to make movies. What I heard come out of his mouth was perfect as far as what got me thinking, this guy is exactly what I need to have. I need to have somebody like this on my team, because I don't think this way. So he's been talking to his contacts, SAG-AFTRA. It looks like they're going to be joining WGA and striking soon. However, it's not going to affect micro budgets or short films. So while ours is teetering on a micro budget, we hope to get it beyond a micro budget when we actually make the narrative. However, if we can get some A/B level talent who's sitting around and they have nothing to do, and they can't really do anything other than shorts, student films, short films, and micro budgets, and we can get them at a very affordable rate, or possibly even free because of the nature of our project, and we can shoot a scene or a short film or a scene from the narrative that could be seen as a short, could have a beginning, middle, and end, and serve as a short film, we probably will be able to pull this off with some recognizable people this summer. So that is one of the new micro projects that we're working on that is part of the larger picture, which is Loaded for Bear, all things Loaded for Bear. So rather than just a documentary and the narrative independent film, now we're looking at a short film that will also accompany. So ultimately, there could be as many as three, four, or four projects. When I say four, I definitely am going to be making one for Mary Rings and her Born to Act players to serve as almost a template, also a tool to help her go out and get grants and funding for her program that she's developed for almost 30 years now. She's a lot like me, where she just does work. Ideas come to her and she does them. She doesn't think big picture nearly as well as she should or I should. And she knows that. We've talked about this, Mary Rings and I. Excuse me. So that's one of my, hopefully one of the things that I can do for her is put together something short, like an 8-minute, just a fluff piece. Which, fluff piece, a lot of the time that's derogatory or pejorative, but I mean, there's really no way to make a short video on what she does and what the Born to Act players do without it feeling fluffy, because I mean, that's what it is. It's just fantastic. I mean, there's really no dark side to it. So anyways, that's where I'm at here in Panama. We leave in a couple days, and you know, we're at that point of the trip where I'm very excited to get back in the swing of things and be able to get back there and just start writing and not be sandy and wet and muggy and sweaty while doing so. But I don't say this very often. I'm not very proud of myself very often, pat myself on the back, but I feel like I got some pretty good work done over here, considering I got a 6-year-old. I have a hard time learning how to relax, And we've been moving around. I think we're at our fourth and final place right now. So, yeah. Another thing is, like, when we end up, there's one, okay, final thing I'll leave you here with. There's another scene that's in Loaded for Bear, the narrative, that's been there and has been bothering me for literally years. Because, I mean, I wrote this thing a few years ago, and it's written mainly from my own, I've talked about some of this before, but it's written from my own experiences. I wrote the characters, the individuals with intellectual disabilities. I based those characters on individuals that I had befriended or worked with or both from, you know, all the years of working at various spots and volunteering at other places. So I have a lot of stories, as you'd imagine, and most all of them are good and lovely and sweet and precious in many ways. However, there have been some things that have happened and some things that I've seen at various events that are kind of stomach churning and downright scary. And one involved a woman pulling out unsuspecting people's hair and then eating it. And that's been a scene in the script for some time, and I have not felt good about it for a few years now. At the time that I wrote it, I was, you know, looking for conflict and looking for story, and I know it would make a great scene, but I realized not too long ago, when I say not too long ago, a couple of years ago at least, that, like, you know what, the overall theme of this, I don't like to talk themes with stories and movies, but the overall, I don't like to talk messages either, but I don't want to leave any viewer who doesn't know about this population, I don't want to leave them with any kind of negative, like, oh, well, there are scary individuals out there who shouldn't be trusted because they might pull out your hair. And I really like the scene, and it's something that I watched with my own eyes. I've told the full story at least once on the After Disaster, and the part that I found to be entertaining about the scene that I wrote about, her name is Lucy in the script, was that I was at an event for a Special Olympics, and there was a bunch of, you know, people there, Hearts of Gold, a lot of more parents, a lot of more volunteers, and they're watching, they're in the audience, they're watching. It was weightlifting that I was there for, and there a woman showed up, and she was in a wheelchair, and she was just going from person to person, kind of unsuspecting people that were sitting watching this event, and she would go up and she would put her hand on their head, and they were uncomfortable, they didn't know what to do, but they knew what kind of event they were at, so they couldn't be like, who is this person, get her away from me, you know what I mean, because they're like, oh, it's one of the athletes and she's being sweet and she's just petting my hair. And then this, I don't know what her name was, I never spent time with her, I just saw this with my own eyes, I never spoke to this woman, I've named her Lucy and made a character out of her in my story, in my script. But what she would do is she would pull the person's hair, she would pat it a few times, the person would be uncomfortable and smiling, and then Lucy would grab a fistful of it and just yank it, and she pulled it out of three people's heads while I watched this, and then she put it in her mouth and started chewing it, and then she went to the next one, she had like three different colors of hair wads in her mouth, and it was horrifying. And yeah, that would make a great scene. I don't want that scene in this movie, though. I don't want, like I said, people leaving the theater or turning off their Netflix or wherever it's going to end up and be like, yeah, most of the individuals with intellectual disabilities, very sweet, but some of them are horrifying and scary, like that Lucy character. So God, that was a long story. I have finally rewritten that scene, and it's based on something else I've kind of seen, but I fluffed it up a bit and, you know, took some artistic liberties, and doesn't necessarily come from my own experience, but I think it works, and it's totally different, and it's based around a prank, and I think it'll work. It won't leave the viewer with a turned stomach. So I'm very happy about that, and I'm excited about the shorts that ultimately we hope to shoot this summer, as well as that scene that we will ultimately shoot different, which the scene that I rewrote that I talked about that will show up in the actual narrative that we hope to shoot in the feature film. Both of those, while I'm doing them, I'll be thinking, like, oh my God, I came up with those, or I wrote those, or I reworked those while I was over there in Panama with the humidity, sweating, being bitten by these little bugs. They're called like no-sees or cannot-sees or something, because you really don't see these little bugs until it's too late and they bit you. All right. Wow. I just talk a lot more than I anticipated. I talk a lot. Here is the final thing. I know I've already said that, but I would like to thank The following people who I've given since last week, since I last spoke with you. Nora Seidman, thank you for coming aboard. Welcome to the project. Thank you very much. Pierce Petrie, you crazy, crazy SOB. Thank you so much. You've already done so much for us, and here you are giving a good chunk of change to Loaded for Bear, the documentary. Huge, huge thanks, as well as to Jordan Armstrong. Thank you very much. Hey, my old friend Matt Rixner. Thank you, Matt. I need to talk to you, too. We got to talk about this project in particular, because I told you last time we spoke that I would like to interview you, at least over the phone, to get some ideas. Zachary Chenny, thank you very much for coming on board, Zachary Chenny. And then Tam Smith. Tam, you are the greatest. The last time I corresponded with you was just yesterday. You were having a problem with your Film Vault Patreon feed, and just last night. And then I wake up this morning and I check before I do this feed to see who I should thank. And Tam Smith is on there. While her Patreon for the Film Vault, for whatever reason, stopped working, because it does that to random like Patreons every now and again, and then they fix it. But she's dealing with not getting her money's worth on the Film Vault, and then she turns around and she gives a really nice chunk of change for this project. So I just have so many great people who are a part of this, and I thank all of you, and I thank you for listening and following along. I have not talked to Robert or Catherine or Joe. Talked to Robert like less about 4 or 5 days ago, and we talked about this whole new idea, and he kind of gave me a task to pull a scene and write a short out of. I'll be talking more about what that short film is going to look like, but I have not talked to them about any names that we have submitted for or try to make contact with, which I think may have happened. And if it hasn't happened, it's going to be happening early next week. So thank you. I gotta see, if I didn't keep going, I wouldn't have coughed. All right. I will talk to you guys next Friday from a dry heat location. Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Neil.
And I'm Ken.
And we are from the Triviality Podcast, a pub trivia style game show where a lack of seriousness meets a little bit of knowledge.
Join us each week for an hour-long game of general knowledge trivia featuring special guests from around the world, plus tons of extra themed episodes.
If you want to improve your trivia game,
or you just want to scream at us in your car when we get easy questions wrong,
then we're the show for you. Find Triviality on all your favorite podcast apps.
But you know that because you're already listening to a podcast.